Gearhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome in. Thanks for tuning in. If you're new here, welcome. And for all you other listeners, welcome back. And thank you so much for tuning in again, yet again, for another Saturday special of Gearhead Radio. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. That's 805-238-KPRL. Always appreciate phone calls. It's kind of a lonely job here, sitting here just staring at a microphone. So if you want to call and keep me company, if you got any questions, that always helps too. There's just so much to talk about. There's almost nothing to talk about, if that makes any sense at all. So it's nice to get a little feedback to know where you want me to take this show, because it is your show. I am here for you. So if there's something that you want me to go over, more than happy to do that. Otherwise, I'll just let my brain unwind and we'll see where that goes. That's always fun too. That's fun for me. But I do appreciate everyone that comes down during the week and says hi. And more importantly, use our services, support our business. That's a big deal. All your recommendations, whether you use us or you recommend us to somebody, that means everything to me. That's why I'm up here doing this every Saturday. Give back to the community, and there's nothing like the community giving back to us. It's awesome. All right, first things first, let's get into some weather, because that needs to change. Last week was not the most fun to deal with, especially in a shop. But luckily, we got a little relief at the end of the week. There was some rain. So that was nice. Interesting, but not the first time we've seen rain this late in the year, but won't be the last. Saturday, today, we're looking at 92 degrees. Going to be a little warm today. Tomorrow, 87. Next week, we got some relief in the forecast. Looks like 77 on Monday. Getting up to be the low 80s by Wednesday into Thursday, and by Friday into next weekend, low to mid 80s. So we got some decent weather, partly cloudy, mostly sunny. Didn't look like any rains in the forecast, but sure seems like it's pretty humid out there. What is the humidity out right now? About 60%. We're definitely up there with the humidity, so we're not really used to that around here. We like that coastal fresh air. That's what we want. Looks like we got some relief in. No more triple digits for a little while as we get into our September. That's right, September 2026, right around the corner. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, I wanted to just say that, God, I love driving my car. I just love that. And I just cannot figure out why anybody would want to not drive their own car and go somewhere. It just stumps me. So I mean, get it off my mind, I think, if I say it out loud to you.
Yeah, and in reference to like the Waymos or...
Yeah, or even to own a self-driving car, go out there and get the back seat, and it's going to take you somewhere. I want to start the engine. I want to play with that gas pedal. I want to, you know, have an attitude once in a while.
I feel like that was like the whole America in the 1950s and 60s, right?
I think so. California's on wheels. Yeah, we're all going to freedom. I got my first car, it was freedom. I can go to the lake and jump in if I want.
That was even like how Kingsford, Henry Ford's brother, came up with that charcoal brand, right? And he's like, hey, we'll throw you a bag of charcoal so you can take your car to the park and have a barbecue with your family.
Free.
It was the whole thing, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I get the allure of like wanting a private chauffeur. Maybe like life is so busy that you have so much work to do that you need to be sitting in the back on the computer. And I don't know.
But that's not legit either, is it? You got to be, I don't know. I was driving last night, and I was thinking, God, this is so nice, just cruising down the highways, and, you know, why would anybody not want to do this? I thought, I'm going to call in tomorrow and just kind of air it out to Jimmy, because if people out there do go, no, here's what it's good about it, you know, call in, straighten me out. I want to learn, because it doesn't scan.
That's true. I'd like to hear it too. I'd like to hear what the allure is of not wanting to have control over the vehicles going down the highway at 90 miles an hour. Unless maybe you don't trust yourself, then that's a totally different discussion, I think. But I don't know. I'd like to be in control of what's going on here, but maybe that's because I'm a control freak. I don't know.
And I just love the power under my hood.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, if anybody does want to defend being driven around instead of enjoying driving their car, I put a my spin on there.
I love it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Well, hey, Jimmy.
Hey.
I can tell you why people like self-driving cars. You know, maybe not in town, but when you're on a road trip and you just want a little assistance, right, that's what I like my Tesla for. It just allows me to kind of relax. I don't have to sit there and keep it in the lane the whole time. I can kind of chill. I think that's really what it's good for. Around town, not so much. I really don't trust it per se as much. But, you know, and then the other thing is when you're kind of tired, you know, let's say you had something going on and it's real late and you got to come all the way from slow to home, you know, and you're in Paso. It's nice to just have something there to kind of help you along. I'm not saying you should fall asleep, right, and take a nap, but it kind of helps, you know, if you're real tired. I think that's what it's used for. Now, the ones with no steering wheels, I absolutely will never get in one of those because I own a Tesla with Tesla Vision, the camera-based system, and I know it's not perfect. It's far from perfect. So, you know, there's uses for it, and I think that's why, you know, they have them in all these ADAS systems and all these cars, but it's certainly more of an assistance than it is to be a fully autonomous.
Yeah, I think that's fair. The longer drives, I can see the fatigue wearing.
You're just like, it's like, I mean, yeah, I like driving too, but I don't like driving 6 hours straight, you know? It's like... But, you know, I think that the full self-driving autonomous thing is really, yeah, they're putting it out, but I don't think we're going to see all these cars on the road doing this, you know, as the majority. I think, you know, it's going to have its niche spaces, like long-haul trucking. I think they're really making progress on that. But I wouldn't worry about it too much, you know. As a person who owns a vehicle with the leading FSD technology,
it's definitely nowhere near getting the trust of the general public, and even having them on the road next to you, I think there's the trust factor as well. No matter how good it actually becomes, you still have to get people to trust it, and that's the biggest hurdle. The hurdle's not getting the car to drive straight in the lane. I think we can dial that in. I think it's getting people to trust the fact that we can get it to drive straight in the lane is the hard one.
Also
driving for the journey, not the destination, right? I think we're all in the race now of just getting somewhere instead of enjoying that journey. I think we should probably all take a, you know, practice what we preach, right? And maybe enjoy the journey a little more than the destination. Maybe stop every 3 or 4 hours and take a break. And, you know, so, but then again, there's times when it's like, yeah, you have no choice and you got to get where you're going. But I think the evolution of where we are is like a society is like a 6 hour drive somewhere is not unheard of anymore, right? That's like pretty normal. Where it wasn't maybe 20 years ago, like that's something you just wouldn't do in one day. And so I think we just evolved a lot, you know, and kind of missed out on like Route 66, right? There were stops along the way, like every 2 or 3 hours, you stop, let the car cool down, stretch your legs, check things out, back on, and away you go. So I don't know.
Well, Jimmy, I have 3 kids, so I'm stopping every 3 hours anyway.
Right.
I got to get these suckers out of the car before I end up.
They're not sitting in a car for 6 hours, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
There's no way.
So, and I've got to pull the thing over. But I will say, like, I use my Tesla for certain road trips, but then I have, my 6-liter excursion is a torque converter, by the way. So they're, don't buy them from O'Reilly's, I guess. But I use that more for, like, real long things because I can kind of stretch it out. But with the Tesla, I got to get out every 3 hours anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
And charge and, you know. But so anyways, that's the counter argument. It's, you know, it's more of the FSD is not really it. It's more just the active driving assistance that I think is very helpful.
Yeah, it's a creature comfort. I get it. That's fair.
Yeah. So
that's fair.
But no cyber cats in the near future. That's my prediction. It's okay.
Thanks Have a good weekend. Thanks for the call, buddy. Bye.
Yeah.
It's fair either way, and I think that's the that overall in itself is the reason why we like to have options. So when they tell us that you're not allowed to buy the tires you want anymore, or you can't buy gasoline cars, you have to buy electric, it's not the fact of one or the other, it's the fact of having the options removed is what the problem is, right? If your vehicle has the option to self-drive, yeah, that's cool. What's wrong with that? I can take over at any time. I can turn it all off. I can drive it, or I can turn it on and utilize this cool new technology, right? It's like a hybrid. We have the gasoline engine and the electric motor. So we have the option of both. And for some reason, we want to just either go full electric or full gas. And I just don't understand why it's got to be one or the other. That's what I don't understand. We have the technology to make a car drive by itself. We have the technology to make a car electric. But somehow we don't have the technology to have both. But it's like one or the other. That doesn't make sense to me. I feel like these engineers are smart enough to give us both and then allow us the option to choose, because that's what it's supposed to be for. They're supposed to be for the consumer, right? That's what it is. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Whether you're remodeling your home or building a new one, think of Frontier Floors and Window Coverings in Paso Robles. Since 1977, Frontier Floors and Window Coverings has been the North County's choice for the finest in selection, quality, and service. From an area rug to a complete newly designed residential or commercial project, Frontier Floors and Window Coverings is equipped to assist you from floor to ceiling. Browse their 3,000 square foot showroom. You'll find hardwood flooring, laminate, luxury vinyl flooring, shutters, blinds, shades, draperies, and of course, luxurious stain-resistant carpet. Frontier Floors and Window Coverings, providing the highest quality at competitive prices with unmatched customer service. Call now for your free design consultation, 805-238-7878. Online at frontierfloors.net or visit the showroom at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Frontier Floors and Window Coverings.
Hi, this is Desi.
This is Melissa.
This is Katrina. Welcome back to your Eagle Energy 76 Country Store.
You already know that we have more than just fuel. We have what fuels you. When you fill up that car or truck of yours with 10 gallons or more, you get your choice of a refreshing fountain drink, a fresh brewed iced tea, or coffee.
Each and any size that we offer for free. Just show us your receipt.
We have an amazing amount of food in our deli that's more than just snacks.
Like a delicious mash bowl. That's mashed potatoes, corn, chicken, and cheddar cheese covered in gravy.
Call ahead for anything in the deli and we will have it ready for pickup.
We also offer a complete family meal that you can call in and pre-order or just stop on by.
The family meal includes your choice of 12 pieces of battered fried chicken, 20 fresh mojo potatoes,
and 6 biscuits, all for only $25. Just head to the Eagle Energy Country Store on the corner of Highway 46 East and Golden Hill Road in Paso Robles.
The Eagle Energy Country Store is now open on Saturdays from 10 to 5, serving delicious fresh chicken.
See you at the country store.
We'll see you at the country store.
And welcome back. This is Gearhead Radio, and I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate the calls. Good little conversation starter there about self-driving cars versus the old-fashioned steering wheel and pedals. We need 3 pedals too. That's you want to stop distracted driving, bring back 3 pedals. If your hands are full, what else are you going to be doing, right? That's how you drive a car, you know. You kind of forget about it too. You drive some of these self-driving cars, electric cars, and it's like this is pretty easy. Makes you forget the kind of danger that you're in going down the highway at 80 miles an hour, you know. So you get into an older car with a 3 pedals and a stick shift, and you feel the road again. Like, oh yeah, it's probably not the safest thing in the world to be going that fast, is it? It's still fun, but All right, where are we going next? Talked about weather. I do have an event coming up I want to talk about. Wings of Hope Car Show coming up September 5th. That is in about a week. Right around the corner. Is that next weekend? That is next weekend. So next Saturday, Wings of Hope Car Show. That's downtown Paso. Look that up online at wingsofhopecarshow.com. Just Google it. You'll find all the information you need. It's 10 to 3. And they are still having they still got some openings left for cars. So if you're looking for something to do next weekend, somewhere you want to enter your car, get one of the last car shows of the season in, this would be a good one. Be downtown on Pine Street. They are shutting down a couple of the streets, so be prepared for that as well. Any more information, check that out online. Speaking of car shows, I got nothing. It was a good season. I'd say that. Got parades coming up, Pioneer Day parades coming up. The Christmas parade. Man, the year's just flying by, isn't it? Get ready for the fourth quarter of the year. We'll see how this El Nino comes too. Definitely some weird weather going on, but what does that mean for your vehicle? Not a lot. I don't think we get super extreme around here that we have to worry about. But one thing I do want to bring up is transmission fluid and engine oil, because that's probably the biggest things that we see at the shop. And one of the myths that are always around the transmission fluid industry, I guess you'd call it, or the services of it, is lifetime fluid. And I just will never understand how a manufacturer can say it's lifetime fluid, because it is so misleading. Because when they say lifetime, do you just instantly think like 95 years? It's like, that's a lifetime, right? No, it's the lifetime of the transmission. That's like so misleading. So if it lasts a year, yeah, it was lifetime fluid. It was the lifetime of the transmission. It's like the word, it's like, it drives me crazy. Like that in and itself is like the most misleading thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So no, it is lifetime fluid. Like I can't argue that. That's what's so frustrating about it. It's like, it is correct. It is lifetime fluid because it will last the lifetime of either the transmission or the lifetime of the service interval. Does that make sense? It's like, but we instantly think that means that you never have to change it. And that's what they want you to think. Because then when you need a new transmission because you didn't service it and it's $9,000, you just want to get rid of the car. And even though a new car is $45,000 or $55,000, they just convince you it's $700 a month, which is less than $7,000, right? So yeah, it's very, it's quite a tactic. And I understand where they're coming from, but I just don't believe in it. So with transmission fluids, the biggest thing when they call with lifetime, if you look in the underwriting, is it's lifetime to the powertrain warranty. So if you have like a 60,000 or 100,000 mile powertrain warranty, some of them are going a little longer than that, some of them are shorter, but you understand what I'm saying, that you get a manufacturer's powertrain warranty. Now, the lifetime of that warranty is also the lifetime of the fluid. So they don't want you to touch the fluid in that warranty period. So that's what's in the fine print. If you actually go through and read all the stuff and all the stuff that no one likes to read. Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning. Yeah, got a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get an opinion, your opinion. I've got an 04 Toyota Corolla with 100 and almost 60,000 miles, or 260,000 miles on it. And it's the clutch is starting to slip, and I'm just wondering if it's worth trying to replace the clutch on it, or if I should just go buy me something else. Now, it's been a good, reliable car. The engine works great. The transmission works great. It also needs new tires, so I don't know if by the time I invest all this money in a clutch repair or in tires and if it's worth trying to keep it, or if it's worth investing, I don't know, whatever it would cost. Maybe you give me an idea what it might cost to do something like that to an 04 Corolla.
It's a great question. I mean, that is the most common question I probably get with some of the older cars, right? Because you're looking at a 22-year-old vehicle. So, you got close to 300,000 miles on it. Now, Toyota's probably, you're definitely on the top of the list. Like, if you're going to invest in an older car to keep it running, that's definitely one of the top, right? The top three to keep on the road. Now, the other question I'd have for you is, what do you plan on using the vehicle for?
Well, I use it mostly just for running around town. I've got another car that I use if I do longer trips that I use. I just use a Corolla running around town, going to San Luis, to Paso, and just grocery store and running around town to do errands or odds and ends.
So you have a secondary car that you use for more of the longer trips and things like that, so you wouldn't be put in a precarious situation if something else were to fail.
Yeah.
So that's important, right? Because you can't replace that runaround car for what you're going to put into it to fix the clutch and even the tires. Now, I doubt that car has much more that it needs. They really didn't. There wasn't a lot that went wrong with them. I mean, we're more than happy to inspect it for you, do a no-cost inspection, and give you a whole list of anything that it might need. I'd be pressed to say if there's more than $800 worth of maintenance that it needs. Those cars just like nothing really ever went wrong with them, other than just basic services. Now the clutch is, if that's the original one, you got 300,000 miles on it. That's impressive. So
it doesn't burn any oil between oil changes. It's got a couple other little minor things, but the things I live with. In the paint, the clear coat is coming and starting to wear off because I don't park it in the garage. I leave it out. Outside.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest mindsets on like an older vehicle like that. It's not so much is it worth investing? It's more what's going to be the cost to replace it? Now, do you need a second vehicle? That's up to you whether you want to put more miles on your nicer car that you use just for trips. I would say you're better off having something secondary that you can run around like that. You don't have to worry about someone, a door ding or someone backing into it, or it's just there to just get you from point A to point B. Great gas mileage. I mean, I don't think you're going to find anything that gets that kind of gas mileage either. They just don't build them like that anymore for that kind of fuel mileage, unless you're going to like a hybrid or a Prius or something like that. But then again, the replacement cost is going to be almost three times that of what it costs to repair what you got. So not so much the investment of like the car. It's going to be more or less, how do I get something else to replace this for X amount of dollars, right? At this point, you're kind of you're at sunk cost, right? So you're going to be investing money one way or another to get your A to B car back up and running, whether that's replacement or fixing what you got. That's one of the, like I said, that's the top three that I would be looking at. Now, if you had like an older, I don't know, an old Hyundai or Kia or something like that, yeah, it might be time to part ways with it, right? And let it go. But with the Toyota, there's always things that can come up that they're just unknown, right? So you put the clutch in and maybe all of a sudden it starts burning oil a year later or 6 months later. It's just so many unknowns. But if you buy something used, you don't know what you're buying there either. You don't know how many problems you're going to be coming up with. And it definitely doesn't sound like you're looking at buying a brand new car just to use to get from point A to point B. So it's kind of like whittles your options down, right? Like those are your options. And it's like, in my opinion, I mean, I'm a fixer. I don't like to see cars broken. I like to see them fixed. And especially a car that's 22 years old that was like at its peak manufacturing, Like the early 2000s Toyotas, they just had it dialed. I don't know why they changed anything, but it's definitely the cars to get.
No, it's great. I use it every day, but it's been a reliable car.
What I would do for...
I think of giving it to one of my grandsons, because he's going to need a car to drive to school and back. Do you have any idea, just roughly off the top of your head, what it would cost to do a clutch job on a thing?
Probably between $15,000 and $2,000, somewhere in that ballpark.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's not terrible. And then tires for that thing, they're not bad either. maybe 100, yeah, 150 yeah. bucks, something like that a piece. So yeah, everything for that car is very, very inexpensive to maintain. That's the nice thing about it too. You get into these newer cars and everything's just so much more money. So the cost of repair is very low on that vehicle as well. So like I said, you take that and you divide it over the next, you know, say even 3 years, the clutch is warrantied for 3 years. What's 2,000 divided by 36 months, right? And that's your payment on that car for the next 3 years. So yeah, definitely a lot cheaper than anything else you'll find.
Okay, well, I appreciate the information. And
yeah, of course.
I'm just trying to, you know,
it's a nice car. What I would do is, just for fun, post it up for sale and watch how many offers you get for that car. Everybody's going to want that car, man.
I have several people because it's a manual transmission. And,
yep.
And you just don't get them anymore.
Well, I got to jump on a break. Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
Ace Auto Care, 1 mile east of El Camino on the corner of Traffic Way and Via, Atascadero.
News. I'm Daria Alvinger. Rescue workers are working around the clock to find any survivors from this week's catastrophic flooding on Nepal's border with China.
A race against time to find survivors, with the death toll rising following the flooding disaster on the Nepal-China border. More than 600 people are confirmed dead. Another 2,500 people remain missing, among them 90 Americans. Rescue crews are still pulling out survivors caked in mud. The U.S. State Department says so far 5 Americans have been brought to safety.
That's Fox's Jackie Ibanez reporting. Bad weather is slowing the rescue efforts. President Trump's announced that the U.S. will take control of 65 billion barrels of Venezuelan oil reserves. He calls the deal historic. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time to play. Bass Robles Golf Club is North County's best golf course, as voted by you. Play the best condition course on the Central Coast. Visit the Bass Robles Golf Shop and upgrade your game with new gear, clubs, grips, and repairs. Take a lesson or join the Sip and Swing Clinics. Play the weekly nine-hole games, Monday Shamble and Thursday Scramble. Don't miss the monthly co-ed tournaments. Finish your round at Deeds Bar and Grill. There's no place like it. Bass Robles Golf Club on Country Club Drive in Paso Robles. Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bordan to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Danny from Paso Tile and Stone, where elegance is made affordable. You know, actually, people have told me, I miss your commercials. Well, this commercial is a thank you commercial for all the contractors. We have 35 regular contractors that buy from us consistently. Thank you to them. Thank you for the homeowners for all the repeat business. We had a great year last year, an increase of 33%. So thank you for that. How about we celebrate by giving you prefabs for $99? We have tile for 99 cents. We have luxury vinyl for $1.99 to $2.99. We have buy one, get one free slabs. So come on down to our showroom for tile and slabs, 3850 Ramada. And for luxury vinyl and cabinets, please come to 447 North Main Street, Templeton. Blessings to you and your family. Thank you.
You simply can't beat the atmosphere at Boyd's Tobacco and Elegant Gifts on Spring Street in Paso Robles. Cigar lovers enjoy the lounge at Boyd's Tobacco and Elegant Gifts, conveniently located at 625 Spring Street in Paso Robles. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 5 on Sunday. Thank you in advance for shopping at Boyd's Tobacco and Elegant Gifts, 625 Spring Street in Paso Robles.
Once you try our bison meat, you won't go back. I'm Susanna Luthi Taylor, host of KPRL's Free Talk California. My husband and I also raise bison at his family heritage Taylor Ranch in Cambria, and we sell our meat at a pop-up shop every Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. off Highway 46 West. So, if you're headed to or from the coast, stop by for a tender steak, delicious burger, and more. We're almost through our harvest for the year and steaks sell out fast, so don't miss out. Find us at TaylorRanch1868.com.
And welcome back. And if you're just tuning in, welcome in. This is Gearhead Radio, and I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy, from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. We are located downtown at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. Check us out online at shiftinggears805.com, and make sure you're staying up to date on that website, because we do have a new video coming out. It should be about a week, a new shop tour video. It was really a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it, so you can tell. If you ever need anything during the week, come on down and check us out. Come say hi. Appreciate all of you coming by and using our services, saying hi. We can do clutch repair, transmission repair, oil changes, alignments, smogs, brakes, timing belts, head gaskets. We fix a lot of stuff, and we're good at it. We're good at it. Moving on to the show. Great calls today. Do appreciate the calls. One of the big ones is always when we get a vehicle in after we do our initial inspection, because we like to make sure that there isn't a whole lot of things that you need to worry about with the vehicle. Maybe it is 22 or 25 or 30 years old and hasn't had a proper inspection in its entire life. It's sad, but it happens. And so you come in for a water pump, and maybe there's some other items that that it needs, and you know, it can turn very quickly into a fair amount of money to get the car safe and functional back to like new condition. And that's what our goal is to make sure that you're investing in a vehicle that makes sense. Now, in this day and age, it takes a lot of money in repair to counter the argument of buying a new one. Not to mention most of the new ones is a lot of stuff that you probably don't even want or care about anymore. So it's you're getting into something that you don't have any desire to anyway. And then the other alternative is to buy something used. Now, that's not a bad option. That's really not. I think a lot of people think that when it comes to used vehicles, you're buying someone else's like old trash, right? And I've had every single time I have a vehicle come in that is getting ready to be sold, everything gets repaired on it. I mean, more than when they are keeping the car. I've had more cars say, no, I'm going to keep this for the next year. I'll probably sell it in 2 years. That's the biggest one. I don't want to do everything. I'm probably going to sell this in a couple of years. I'll just drive it, you know, till then. And then when I'm ready to sell it, I'll get all that fixed. Every time. It's remarkable. It really is. Everyone, at least in this community, in this county, are more willing to invest their money in a vehicle knowing it's going to someone else than knowing it's going to be used for themselves. It's admirable. I mean, that's really cool. And so we always know when they're getting ready to sell it, because everything, all of our findings, all inspections, all the repairs get approved. Well, they must be selling this. They're just not keeping it for themselves. But you can do things, nice things for yourself. So you want a vehicle that's nice and kept. You can do that for yourself as well. But back to the point of buying something used, it's not always the worst case scenario. Now, there is vehicles out there being sold that are on their last leg, so you have to be careful. Bring it in for a pre-purchase inspection before you buy it. But the point is, if you have to invest into your vehicle that's given you 10 years of its life and not a lot of major repairs, and now you have a major repair coming up, just like divide that across the time of those last 10 years, you know? It's a $5,000 repair, it's like $500 a month. $500 a year. The math was not in there. $500 a year, right? To take care of that. So, yeah, it's all relative though. It's all relative, and that's why we're there to give you a proper inspection, proper digital vehicle inspection, so you can see pictures and videos of everything so that you know what you're getting yourself into. It's important. But that rolls right back into what I was talking about with transmission fluid, lifetime transmission fluid. So, like I was saying before the break, lifetime transmission fluid is the lifetime of the powertrain warranty. Right. So whatever it is they give you, that's whatever not the extended warranty, just the manufactured powertrain. That's the lifetime that they're talking about. It's not the lifetime of the vehicle, not your lifetime, not my lifetime, lifetime of the warranty. Now, as soon as you get out of warranty, something happens, then it's not their problem anymore, but it is your problem. So that's why you want to service it in that time period, right? To make sure it lasts. Because the only thing that's really going to happen, well, in this day and age, transmissions just aren't really built like they used to be, but the best way to keep a transmission alive is to keep fresh fluid in it, just like any other system in your vehicle, whether it's coolant, brake fluid, engine oil, transmission fluid. It all needs to be replaced, even the power steering fluid. Everything is put under extreme hydraulic conditions, heat, cold, right? Run cycles. There's a lot that's going on there that's breaking down those fluids that starts turning into sludge and starts clogging up ports and starts giving you problems. Doesn't work as quite well as it used to. Moisture starts getting in to different fluids. One of the biggest ones is the hydraulic circuits, though. And this is transmission and engine. Now, this is an important distinction between the two because most engines now run on a lot of hydraulic circuits. They're not like an old Chevy small block 350, even though they had hydraulic lifters. So there was some hydraulic action going on there, but oil still wasn't the biggest deal in the world because the passages were big enough to see, you know, with your eye. You could put a ballpoint pen through the passage. So the oil really had to sludge up quite a bit before you started having like hydraulic lifter issues. Did they still fail? Of course they still failed. Everything's going to fail just on its own. But what I'm getting to is with transmissions, they use a specialty fluid, right? And a filter and all sorts of different chemicals and detergents in there that help capture all the particles to keep all that stuff suspended in the fluid and avoid it going back through all these small passages. Now, when we talk about engines and we talk about an engine that's internal combustion that has a lot of blow-by that starts burning oil, right? You get a lot of carbon and soot and buildup in this oil. Now, the oil is designed when it's full synthetic to do the same thing. It's got a lot of detergent. It's got a lot of different chemical makeups and properties to help contain and control that sludge. But if you're waiting 7,000 or 8,000 miles past your oil service, or you go somewhere where they put cheap oil in, or oil is not the right API rating or the right viscosity, that changes everything. As that sludge builds up, it's going to start plugging up these ports. Now, most vehicles have what they call VVT. Remember, it's VTEC. There's also cam actuators, or they call them phasers, with timing chains. Now, what all that does is it controls how long the valves of the engine can open and how long they stay open for. So back in the old hot rod days, you'd put a big cam in there. It sounded really cool at idle. Didn't run very well, but it sounded cool. And then you'd have a lot more power at the upper end because you're allowing that valve to stay. You can either open it further, so you open the door further instead of just cracking it open, and then you can hold it open. A lot of air coming in. A lot of air, a lot of fuel, a lot of power. That's what we want. But at idle, you don't want that much air. Causes a lot of turbulence. The engine speed's not fast enough to keep up with it. Causes a lot of problems with idle. Some people think it sounds kind of cool. I think it sounds kind of cool. But it's actually the engine not running very efficiently. But at higher end, it would because the engine speed picks up. Now, you can take that technology and you can actually vary that cam lift and duration through VTEC. So you can change the lifters, pump them up, pump them down. And then you can even get to the phasers or the cam actuators. You can start angling the cam. You can change the actual where the cam position is relative to the chain. So you're actually changing the timing as you're going down the road. Now that uses hydraulic pressure. Where does the hydraulic pressure come from? It comes from the engine oil, comes from the oil pump. So the oil pump and the oil is much more important now than just coating the bearings with a film of oil to keep them from failing. It's used for hydraulic circuits with the VVT solenoids, the cam actuators, all those. The VVT is what pumps up the lifters, the cam actuators and phasers is ran off a different oil pump circuit that changes the cam duration. Now, if you have the wrong oil in there, the only way the computer knows is in this amount of time with this, when it's running, we should have this much timing degrees. Now, if you used an oil that's thicker, that changes how fast that cam phaser is going to move. And if it's thinner, you can see the other way, it's going to be a lot slower. It's going to take a lot more volume when it's thinner, a lot less volume when it's thicker. So oil viscosity is much more important than just making sure the oil splashes up to the top or that it keeps the bearings coated and makes sure that the engine doesn't fail. It's used for that part of the engine to actually control the timing. You can actually start throwing timing codes, timing chain codes. And the worst thing about it is the engine will try to fix itself, right? The computer will try to say, okay, well, we noticed the first or second time we try to get timing to say 22 degrees or 28 degrees, or whatever it's going for, it took a little longer than it should. So then it just starts cranking pressure up. Now you're using more oil pressure. You're outworking the VVT solenoid, right? Keeping it on longer. It's putting a lot more stress on the system. You start having issues with the timing chain starting to stretch. Now, these are all things that happen very, very, very slowly, because the computer is compensating for it, so you don't know about it. And by the time you actually hear it, it's too late. It's already at its max, so there's no fix for it. And so we can put Band-Aids on it, put oil additives in there, try to get it back to at least stop the bleeding, but the damage has kind of already been done because it's been done for the last 20 or 25,000 miles because the wrong oil's been added in the last few oil changes, or you waited too long past your oil changes. Now, the other thing I was talking about with oil passages, it's the same thing as an automatic transmission, right? You have these very, very thin, very, very small passages, very, very, very small, like can't even get a ballpoint pen through them. Some of them is like, can't even get a sewing needle through the passage because it's so narrow. And the VVT system on engines is notorious for that. And so you start getting oil sludge. So now you're combining the carbon and the gasoline byproducts into the engine oil, and it's all mixing around. Plus, you only have maybe 4 to 6 quarts versus with an automatic transmission, you can have 12 to 14. So the dilution is much bigger on an automatic trans compared to the engine, right? So we don't have the same dilution. I always remember the one term, what is it? The solution to pollution is dilution. Don't use that. That's just between you and me. but it's honestly true with the engine oil. So if you're not staying up on your oil changes, you don't have as much oil in there to dilute that carbon and all that sludge that's building up. And where does it go? It starts clogging up all those ports that are up top that are very critical to actuate all those different components of the timing system. And once they get clogged up, it is very, very difficult to clean them without removing them all. And if you're going to remove it, you might as well just replace it, right? You're not going to pull it out, do all that, and just replace the component because it's kind of a big job to get down there. You know, you can run like engine cleaners, oil cleaners, and try to get the sludge cleaned out, but it's like cleaning out an artery and a heart. Like, you got to get in there. You got to get in there. So I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You might have tried the wonderfully fresh Red Scooter Deli, but did you know they offer beautiful catering choices? Whether you need your company breakfast or meeting catered, or you're hosting a party, Red Scooter Deli delivers. Breakfast and lunch for groups, dessert trays with fresh baked goods or box lunches. So many choices, and the food is always fresh. For weddings, meetings, or parties, go to redscooterdeli.com. Two locations in Paso Robles.
Mars Megastorage, your state-of-the-art storage solution on the Central Coast. Mars Megastorage can store your RV, boat, car, household, or commercial items in your own fully enclosed unit or covered storage space. Our on-site amenities include security cameras throughout, gate access from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. with your own personal gate code, 17-foot high steel walls for extra security, fully paved, and a wash rack with professional pressure washer, buckets, brushes, and soap, as well as a dump station, all while providing our guests the highest quality of customer service. We encourage you to come see all the guest features we have to offer. At Mars Megastorage, we strive to give you the best possible storage experience at the best possible price. Big or small, we store it all. Mars Megastorage, 101 Wilsona Road in Paso Robles. Call us at 467-3200 or visit marsmega.com.
Attend the 30th ever Creston Classic Rodeo September 10th, 11th, and 12th. All of your rodeo favorites like barrel racing, roping, penny will be at the Creston Classic Rodeo, and don't miss the famous mutton busting. Watching the little cowboys and cowgirls trying to stay on those sheep is always exciting. For more information, check out the Creston Classic Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and at CrestonClassicRodeo.org.
And welcome back. We are rounding third for home in the fourth quarter here. Getting down to the end of the show. 9:50. Appreciate you being here. This is Gearhead Radio, and I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy. I appreciate the time, and hopefully we're all learning something together. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. If you got anything you want to bring up before we get out of here for today. One thing I do need to mention as we're getting into the end of the year here, I know it's not quite September, but I consider Labor Day's kind of getting, we're starting to wind down the year because it's just all holidays after that. So it's nothing but fun after September, right? Halloween and Thanksgiving, and that's the big one. So Thanksgiving for Paso Robles is coming up sooner than you think. Always looking for volunteers, always a good time. I'll be in the back sweeping the floors as I do every year, and I can always use an extra set of hands rinsing some plates off. Website is up and running. Website's up and what's the up and I don't know what the right word would that be. It's up. The website's up. So they are taking volunteers. Thanksgiving4PasoRobles.com. Head over there. Get on the list. Lots of cool things to do. Lots of fun to be had. Probably not sure what you're going to be doing this year for your holidays, but at least you can sign up and use it as a backup if your other plans fall through. Whatever you want to do. Look forward to seeing you there. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, with the, as I'm sure you know, just the amount of complexity with all new cars, it seems like every single vehicle that they put out now has a laundry list of issues with it and recalls. Do you think that going forward in the future we'll see a return to kind of more simplistic designs, or do you think it's just kind of how it's going to be from now on?
Honestly, I do think it's going to be a long... It's going to be a long process to get back to kind of more of what we consider normalcy. It's not so much the cars either, but it's the parts. Like even the aftermarket parts we're getting is just like two or three in a row bad out of the box. Alternators, like it's just awful, and they don't put alternators in like they thought they were going to fail, right? So they're like placed down somewhere where it takes two or three hours to get to, right? And you know, some of these Euro cars are cooled by coolant, and it's just crazy. And so the complexities there, plus the parts that we're getting are not that great either, so we're having to do jobs two or three times. I mean, we all know the EV mandate, who knows, that's probably going to fall apart. I think manufacturers have really pivoted and tried to make that a thing, and that of course is going, now you're losing the engineers that are there to build better ICE vehicles. I don't know. I think it's going to take a new manufacturer to come into the marketplace and just kind of kick it back, right? Someone to come in along and be like, you know what? I'm just going to build 2005 Hondas.
Yeah, you know, my whole thing is like, yeah, especially with just the way economic-wise things are going, it seems like people are not going to pay $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. I mean, maybe they will, but it's like, I definitely think that if somebody said, hey, we've got this car, it's 30 grand, it's literally just a four-cylinder, maybe it's turbocharged, right? But it's simple, the circuit is very simple. I mean, I feel like that's what people want. I just, you know, it doesn't seem... I think planned obsolescence is part of it, but it doesn't seem like...
Yeah, the UK. Yeah, the UK's got it right. Yeah, the UK's got it right. You know, they got the three-cylinder, five speeds, no AC... You know, you go to the UK and it's like tons of these cars are still being manufactured today.
Yeah.
With exactly what you just said. It's just crank windows. It's a standard, You know, it's a three-cylinder, no power steering, no AC, just as basic as you can get, like $25,000, and that's it, right? That's for the most part all you really need for around here and for around most of the state. Sure, it's nice, like you said, it's nice to have like a Tesla or something like that that you can take on long trips, but you just don't need it every day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah,
it's
interesting.
I've just been, my TikTok algorithm has been just flooded with all these videos of like mechanics saying they open like up the back of these seats or something, or they'll open up a car and they go, this is why nobody wants to be a mechanic anymore, which I'm sure you could personally understand that. It's like, it just almost seems like it's unnecessary to design things the way they do. So I don't know. That's my thought. I personally would buy something if it was just a,
I was just having that conversation yesterday about vehicles. You know, you used to pull it in the radiators, that you pull the radiator out, you fix the radiator, you reinstall the radiator, right? And these older guys are like, man, you got it easy. You can just replace the part, you know, because you just get radiator. But it's like, and now most technicians, they have to kind of be specialized in certain unique areas. So like in our shop, we kind of have, you know, everyone kind of does a little bit of everything, but for the most part, we know who can handle high level diags, who can do front suspension work, who can do electronic work, and who can do transmission. Like, so you're kind of having to navigate technicians into a certain pocket, you know, and that's not the reason why you become a technician or a mechanic. It's like, because you want something different every day, but it's so different now that you become so inefficient in transitioning because there's so much stuff. Right? That's like, well, no, for the most part, we're going to keep you in your lane here and we'll slowly feed you the other stuff. But you kind of got to keep them in that lane to build the confidence and keep the hours turning. I mean, for the most part, like we want cars turned over efficiently. And so you got to do the jobs that you're good at. And so it makes it tough because we've gone way away from like the mechanic can fix the entire car. And now we're starting to separate it out like a house. Like now you have a plumber and we have HVAC tech, we have electrician, like that. we're kind of dividing it up like it's a house, you know?
Yeah, it's like the on-vent. I mean, I don't know. That's the last thing I'll say, but it just seems like, you know, my truck, I mean, there's some CAN bus type stuff, but it's like, it seemed like the more that they push towards this almost this data link network where everything is moduled and it's like connected, and it seems like that's more, I think, what the issue is. I think if it was like just take the wire and put the wire over here and connect it to, you know what I mean? Like I said, why, it's not hard. And I feel like it would be cheaper, I mean, to be honest with you, but I don't know. Maybe they need more speed or something out of the center. I don't know.
Yeah. But engineering.
That's my burning question. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Engineering. Yeah. I that's a bad word in my opinion sometimes.
Fair enough.
Engineering. All right, have a good weekend. Hey, Jimmy,
thanks for the call. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it, like CAN bus, Linbus, FlexRay, like you're able to reduce the amount of the wiring harness by like a third. Right, because instead of running a wire from each sensor back to the computer, each sensor back, and you're having like miles and miles and miles of wire, you can just run it from module to module to module and just have the modules communicate to each other. So like, I understand that aspect of it, but it just goes back to the fact, like, why do we need a module for all these different things to begin with? Why do we need a module? Because we're adding infotainment center and heated seats and this and that and the other thing. And then you're going to have this bus bar of relays that's, you know, 10 feet long. So it's like every advent in the vehicle to make it better for the customer ends up actually making it more complicated and a little bit, and I wouldn't call it harder to fix. Like once you understand how it all works, it's really not that complicated. I mean, I get carburetors. I understand how to fix them. I understand how to tune them, but it's a little bit of a feel thing and it's kind of a gut or intuition thing where it's really hard to teach that. Unless you have someone do it over and over and over and mess up. Now, with a code or an engine light, you can check the code and you can look up the data and you can test the sensor, and there's just like hard facts that it's very easy to translate that information very quickly to the next technician. And then he knows next time exactly what it's supposed to be and then what he can test and then verify the repair. Now, when you're dealing with carburetors and timing, it's a little more of a gut intuition thing that takes many years to develop. So not all of the innovation has made it harder. It's just the unknown. It's just every time there's something new, you got to learn, and that's the hard part. It's like, now what? Now what? Right? Well, that's what we signed up for. So buckle up. That's what we're here to do, boys and girls. We're here to fix cars. So learn the new stuff. Be happy about it. Smile. I got to get out of here. Hey, appreciate you being here. I look forward to seeing you next Saturday. Have a great weekend. See ya.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.